Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. This is Gamertag Radio, episode 1017. I am Paris, and I'm here with Pete.
The Tiger King himself. What's up, dude?
So, no Danny this episode. Just Pete and I. Actually, dude, it's probably been a year since I think it was just you and I doing an episode. It's been a long time. Mm-hmm. So, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I actually had it written down. I just finished up Tiger King this morning. And so I actually had it written down in case you forgot to do it. I actually had it written down on my phone to say it as a reminder.
No, it's funny. Obviously, hey, everyone out there in the real world dealing with COVID-19, most of us are on some kind of quarantine or isolation. So I hope this episode, if you're listening to it or watching it live on Twitch, brings you a little bit of entertainment. Clearly, we're very light on the gaming news, but there's a couple things that we can talk about on this episode. And Tiger King obviously is one thing that the entire world has been watching the past couple of weeks. I finished it, I don't know, probably four days ago. And it has been my new obsession because I have nothing else to do, right? And it's the memes. It's the memes that get me. Like, if you go to the Tiger King Reddit, there are just so many memes there. They're just hilarious. Obviously, like, I opened the show with Carol Baskin. I'm sorry. Prove to me that she didn't do it, because at this point, all the evidence says that she did do it. Look, a dude that's worth millions don't just come up missing and don't take his money with him. That's all I'm saying. Show me where he had the slush fund secret offshore account and lived out his life in Honduras or something, right? Because other than that, and not to mention, I don't know why we're starting this off with Tiger King, but Danny ain't here. We'll do what the hell we want.
Exactly.
Also, this, he had four kids. He's really never going to talk to his kids ever again in his life. Not let them know, hey, I'm okay. Nothing. He's just gone. I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying with the Carol thing.
In defense of the king.
Yes.
So the moment where somebody puts a specific, was it an extra cologne on his foot, and it caused the tiger to attack his foot?
Right.
And homegirl's comment of, why don't you just put sardine oil if you wanted the cat to eat you? Yeah. How would you know?
Yeah. Now, because this has been an obsession of mine, I've deep dived down the rabbit hole. So it has come out, the whole septic tank thing. That septic tank wasn't installed until after Don came up missing, like a year or two later. And there was a big meat grinder at one point, but it had been removed before Don came up missing. So both of those theories aren't true, you know, as far as she did that. But look, did she douse him in some sardine oil and feed him to the tigers? That's still on the table.
You don't need a septic tank if you're eaten by cats.
Exactly. Or he just came, you know, she hired someone. Look, and again, we shouldn't be accusing this woman, because clearly she's never been arrested. She's obviously been a suspect. There's never been the evidence, anything. They did reopen the case. It was a cold case, but the Hillsborough County, because I listened to Tampa radio, this is all they've been talking about. And the Hillsborough County Sheriff was on the radio. And yeah, they're bringing in new tips, everything. Because again, the dude went missing in 1997. Whether Carol did it or not, what happened to him? That, to me, forget Joe Exotic and the rest of it. Carol is like my obsession, because I just want that mystery solved. Either she did it or she didn't do it. But what happened to Don? That's what I want to know.
So, I want to know more on the doc. I want to know more about the doc.
You know what? He was on Theo Vine. And again, sorry, folks. Video games were all quarantined. This is what we're talking about.
Tiger King Radio.
Yeah, but he was on Theo Vaughn's podcast, and I was listening to it. And remember how the end of the series said that he was raided in 2019? He goes, that was completely overblown. He goes, that was another crazy PETA person that was trying to get him shut down from some small zoo in Virginia or something. And they came on the premises looking for lion DNA, because I guess they were trying to prove that he was selling cubs to the zoo or something. And that's all it was. He goes, he's not under investigation. He's not in jail. If anything, him going on there, he was talking about how the show depicted he had this harem and he was right. manipulating all these young girls. He goes, look, do I have a bunch of girlfriends? Yes, I do. He goes, they're all like in their 40s. He goes, they're closer to my age. They're not these young girls. Like the way he explained it, whether it's true or not, I don't know. But he definitely came off a lot more convincing than freaking Jeff and the rest of those con artists.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I actually liked the what comes across as honesty from Tim Stark, because he was just like, all right, well, come after me, MF-er. Yeah. But you know, I liked his Stark realness throughout the show, as opposed to, you know, how Jeff, and you saw it towards the end there, how he kind of like acknowledges, is like, yeah, everybody's nice to me, and then they all become a-holes. Like, if you're the common denominator, I wonder why.
Because he's a con artist. He's exactly. a straight up snake oil salesman. I mean, look, final thing on Tiger King, we'll move on. As far as Joe goes, Joe Exotic, again, being on the Reddit, reading all this stuff, there was someone that allegedly said they worked there for X amount of years, kind of from the start until around 2016, and then they left. And they basically said that Joe did start off with really good intentions. He was a really good guy. He really did care for the animals and all that, but he basically got sucked in. He goes, their big money maker was when they did those road shows to the malls and stuff. That was the big money maker, right? And then when PETA stepped in and Carol stepped in and they started sending protesters and all that stuff got shut down, that took a huge chunk of his revenue away. So then that's when he reinvested into the zoo itself. I'm just going to start breeding all these animals and selling them off and doing all that kind of stuff. And then he clearly changed. He was trying to do the TV, the web internet show, and he wanted the reality show because he starved to be famous. And then that's just when it all came in. And I won't get into much, but clearly meth was a huge factor in all this on stuff that was going on with him and his multiple husbands, and just the all the workers were all these felons that, you know, he was basically giving them a chance, and but they still had these drug addictions, all that stuff. And then when it comes to the Carol thing, he clearly got set up. I mean, he was constantly talking about killing Carol, but but like this one person said, everyone was like, pardon my language, that had to go, like a joke. Like it was a joke, right?
Yeah.
So clearly Jeff, and he brought in with the other dude and all that, they set him up. I mean, really, a hitman for $3,000? Really? If you're really trying to have someone cross state lines and you're only going to give him $3,000, he got set up. Whole thing was a setup.
Own words, you're going to give a crackhead $3,000. It doesn't matter what you put after that part of the phrase, because there's more after that, but it says, once you say you gave a crackhead $3,000, all bets are off the table. You know, ain't nothing gonna happen.
Yeah, exactly. Like he even said, like, there's the one meme. It was like, it's the button where he's looking at it going, one says kill Carol, the other one says hookers and blow. And he's like, looking, I'm gonna go hookers and blow. It's like, of course. So does Joe deserve to be in jail for some of the animal abuse stuff? It seems like he did. It does seem like he was being very inhumane and, you know, killing off some of the animals and stuff. Yes, but 20 years? No. That's how I look at it. Because like they even said in the thing, there was no way just the attempted murder charge on its own was going to stick, because there just clearly wasn't enough evidence.
Right.
But when they tacked on all those animal abuse charges, of course the jury's going to convict him on all of them, because we all got a soft heart for these animals. So that's why he's in jail. But anyways, we don't need to talk too much more about Joe Exotic, but it is fascinating during this quarantine to have something to watch. You know, Rox has been yelling at me every day, stop with it, because I keep going, hey, all you cool cats and kittens. I just say it all the time. She's like, stop, you're obsessed. I was like, I have nothing else to do. What else am I going to do?
If you want something or need another recommendation, highly recommend going to and checking out Casa de Papel, or as it's known, Money Heist. It's on season 4, just came out on Friday.
Yeah.
If you need something to keep you going during this quarantine, it's a phenomenal series. It just, you know, season 4 just came out on Friday. I've already blown through it. Actually, it stopped me from finishing Tiger King, and I had to finish all 8 episodes that came out this season of Money Heist. Phenomenally done. It's won awards. It's really, 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 really gripping story. So I'd check it out. Total fiction.
And that's Netflix, too.
Netflix, yep.
Okay, okay. Yeah, we started Ozark. Again, listen, no spoilers. So I'm talking about
nothing. I
just started. Yeah, that's what I keep
it. 2 days. It's so good.
Yeah, we stopped because it's just other stuff with the kids, but right. I can tell once we start it again, we'll just blow through it immediately. I mean, it's, again, that show is freaking phenomenal. Last thing. The kids and I watched Onward the other night because it's on Disney Plus now. It's the new Pixar thing with Chris Pratt and Tom Holland. And,
check that out.
100% go watch it because, and again, no spoilers, but the theme of it is fathers and sons. That's all you need to know.
I'll go get my tissues.
Yes. I went into it with zero expectations. I'm sitting there watching with Trey and just I'm a hot mess at the end. That's all you need to know. I recommend all dads absolutely go watch Onward because it's a good movie. Like I said, it was a Pixar movie I just didn't think that much of, but obviously due to COVID-19, they put it on Disney Plus and it was really good. Definitely check it out.
Will do.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
So, all right, that is enough of TV and movie talk. Oh, I'll say one last thing. Shout out to The Matrix. Yeah, I don't care. Hey, Danny ain't here. I do what I want. Shout out to The Matrix since it is the 21-year anniversary of The Matrix. That was late last week. That happened on the 31st. And just a movie that changed everything for me personally. I'll just say that. And one of the best podcasts, not one of the best podcasts I ever did, was that Matrix podcast I did with Jay, 11 years ago. It's just crazy. Crazy how time flies. But okay. So enough of that. Let's actually talk about video games. I know I sent you the topics and I know we want to talk about The Last of Us 2, but one other thing I wanted to bring up that I didn't put on there, I'll just talk about it now, is NVIDIA last week reached out to me and they sent me a code for the new DLC for Control. And the reason they did is because Control now has DLSS 2.0. enabled on it, and Pete, it is a game changer. Let me tell you, this is a game changer because just the long and short of it, what DLSS 2.0 does, it allows you to enable ray tracing in these games and it reduces the performance hit like dramatically. So as an example, playing Control 4K, ray tracing on high, everything maxed out. I'm lucky if I can hit 30 frames per second on a 2080 Ti. I'm lucky if I can, just everything maxed out, right? I enable DLSS 2.0 and I'm doing it. The renders part of the secret sauce of this is, the game is rendering at 1440. I can render it at 1080p, 1440p, and then it's putting it up to 4K. I mean, you can't tell the difference. This is the magic behind it. I went from less than 30 frames per second, everything maxed out at 4K with ray tracing on, to I'm hitting in the high 40s to low 50s on frame rate. That's how big of a performance boost that it is. And again, this is everything maxed out, ray tracing, all that. So, they show other examples because they sent me the whole spreadsheet. Like if you're like you, I know you play at 1440p, the performance boost that you're going to see with ray tracing is just going to skyrocket. I mean, you're talking like a 40 to 50 frame increase. I mean, percentage wise, they're talking, anywhere from like, I think it was like 30% up to like 60% performance boost that you're getting with DLSS 2.0. This is the secret sauce that we're going to go into with this next gen as far as just PC gaming and even console gaming, because this isn't proprietary, just NVIDIA. AMD is going to be able to take advantage of this as well. So clearly these are early days because Minecraft takes advantage of this. Control takes advantage of it. And I do believe Wolfenstein Youngblood as well is taking advantage of DLSS 2.0. So I fully expect, I don't know if this will make it into Cyberpunk or things like that that come out at the end of this year. I got a feeling that it might, because it seems like NVIDIA is closely partnered with CD Projekt Red, and obviously Cyberpunk's already doing ray tracing. But I think as we go into these next gen consoles and as we go into 2021 with PC gaming, we're going to see this. It's going to be the game changer. It's going to get as much performance out of these cards as you possibly can. And clearly AMD and both Nvidia are refreshing their card lineup here later this year, knock on wood with everything going on with the virus. But I mean, dude, I let's just say the 3080 Ti as an example. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're already saying that thing is probably about a 50% performance boost over what the 2080 Ti is right now, again, according to leaks. So imagine with DLSS 2.0. I mean, we're probably talking 4K with ray tracing, reliably doing 60 plus frames across the board, which, yeah, that's the next gen stuff. If we're getting true ray tracing and we're going to be able to play at 1440p, 4K, and we're going to be able to do 60 plus in 4K, 100 plus in 1440p, things like that, game changer, absolute game changer. So yeah, I'm excited to see where this is going to go.
So DLSS, with it being such a new technology, and that so mm-hmm. by going from the technical jargon, it's basically AI enhancing super sampling, which essentially lets you dig deeper using more of the cores to the tensor cores on the card to basically improve the resolution. So you're running in real time resolution enhancement, right?
Basically, yes.
Why? So what makes Control such a difficult game to render? Because both of us, like, we basically have a near identical build short of our CPU. It's ray tracing.
That's what this is fixing. It's fixing the performance hit of ray tracing. It's giving you some performance back into your GPU to obviously play at higher frames per second with these games, because, you know, like I said before, ray tracing is such a huge performance hit. Because if I turn ray tracing off in Control, as an example, no problem, I'm over 60 frames in 4K. It's not even an issue with the 2080 Ti, and that's maxed out,
right?
But the second you turn, and there's different levels of ray tracing, I mean, you can do, like, in Control you can do low, medium, and high. This is what I'm saying, this is me doing everything high, you see what I'm saying,
right?
And I'm able to get that kind of performance out of it. So imagine as we get into next year and more games are from the start being optimized for this. Clearly Nvidia's driver support is going to improve for this over time as well. We're going to see even more performance out of it. That's how I'm looking at it. So again, because when I think about PC gaming, I'm always thinking, all right, well, what the hell else is left, you know, to quote unquote be next gen,
right,
for PC gaming? It is ray tracing. And clearly the consoles are doing it. The consoles are going to push this forward, especially with the way Microsoft is implementing their ray tracing with the Series X. So that's going to incentivize more developers to want to implement ray tracing into their game. So like I said, I'm not so sure on the PC side, or really even on the console side, we're going to see that many games take advantage of ray tracing this year. But I think as we go into next year and beyond, you're going to start to see, obviously, a lot of the huge AAA titles are all going to implement it, because it's going to be available in the Series X. It's going to be available in the PlayStation 5. And then the fact that, you know, you have Nvidia and you have AMD supporting it with this tech, they're going to do it on the PC side as well. Like, I know this is my PC elitism coming out right now, okay? So I do apologize, but I know people are getting super excited about the new consoles. Yeah, man, that Series X and PlayStation 5, it's going to do high-end PC graphics and blah, blah, blah. Sure, for about a month or two, you know, for about the rest of this year. But then once we get into next year, wrong, because then, you know, I mean, just look at, you know, with PCIe 4.0 with the SSDs. I know PlayStation 5 is doing all that. The speed of these SSDs are going to speed up. PC side is going to take advantage of that. We already see these graphic cards are about to go way beyond,
right,
what the Series X and PlayStation 5 is about to do. So, yeah, this is what happens every time we get a new console refresh. At the beginning of the gen, they tend to catch up to PC gaming. But, you know, after a year or two, PC gaming just explodes beyond it, you know, by leaps and bounds. And I fully expect that to happen again with just the way that technology is going. So, again, I know that's PC elitist talk. I apologize, because I know the majority of people play on console. I'm not hating on that at all. But yeah, just had to get the PC talk out of the way because we have nothing else to talk about. So why not? But anything else you want to put on that, Pete?
Or so should we move on? Is DLSS 2.0 a NVIDIA proprietary thing?
Because no.
I could have sworn I just heard you say that AMD is in on it as well.
Yes.
It's an open architecture available to both.
Yes, because NVIDIA created it and developed it. But when you do it, and I was just reading this, but when you do it on such a large scale, they can't make this proprietary because, again, if you make it proprietary, it's kind of like you notice how Hairworks never took off because it was proprietary to NVIDIA. So by making DLSS 2.0 available, just like you said, almost like open source, the fact that AMD can take advantage of it too, you're going to see wide adoption of it for that fact. Okay. But NVIDIA is the one that created it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
So moving on from PC talk, and I'm sure we'll come back around to that at some point.
We'll come back.
The Last of Us 2. So it is official that it has been delayed indefinitely. And it's not due to development time, even despite the COVID-19 virus. It sounds like everything coming out of Naughty Dog, they're pretty much done with the game. They're squashing some last minute bugs at this point. It's more of a logistics issue right now that Sony doesn't want to put the game out due to COVID-19. And again, this is my theory. I'm curious what you think. It's probably because they're not going to be able to manufacture enough physical copies. Like, clearly digital distribution can happen. That's not the issue. But the physical copies, because again, this is a global launch and they want as many people as possible to have it in their hands at one time. There are certain areas of the world where digital distribution simply is not going to work right now. So the fact that it sounds like they're not going to be able to get enough physical copies in people's hands with the quarantines going on, these retail stores being closed, why do it? They're going to hold on to it, clearly, to wait to see, you know, when the pandemic slows down and people can somewhat get back to a normal life and release it then. But now here's my theory, and I'm curious what you think about all this, but I'll just throw my theory out real quick. So, and oh, shout out to Greg Miller because he took my theory on Twitter and he said it on PlayStation. I love you. Thank you, Greg. But I think if the pandemic holds us into late summer or into the fall, you hold The Last of Us 2 until you launch PlayStation 5
for sure.
And at that point, you showcase it as your cross-generational game and you show off this is just an assumption, the enhanced version of The Last of Us 2 and how it would run on the PlayStation 5, kind of like Nintendo did with Zelda. The last Zelda that came out with the Switch, where it was available on the Wii U, but they showcased the Switch version of it, right? So if you don't buy a Switch, you can still buy it on the Wii U, but, you know, clearly the Switch is going to be the showcase version of it. So I would think that Sony could do something similar with that, because Ghost of Tsushima, I'm assuming Ghost of Tsushima is going to get delayed too. I don't see why they wouldn't delay that one as well. So you hold those games back, just make them a part of the launch lineup and say, yeah, you can play them on a PlayStation 4. We're not telling you to buy a PlayStation 5, but here's the enhanced version of it on PlayStation 5 if you so desire, and you use that as a whole marketing tool, the whole thing. So what do you think?
So the question would be, and I'm going to go in reverse order, Ghost of Tsushima coming out allegedly the end of June, so it was like June 25th or 26th or something like that. If that doesn't happen, do you really want to put that out as a launch title side by side with Last of Us 2 as a potential launch title? Think about it. Like, because that's going to be a game that just gets completely ignored. Like, I'm sure that there's a subset of the community that wants to see or play that game because it did look amazing. Like, I know we all joke about, you know, everybody's confusion and just like when they see the game, like there does not seem to be the amount of hype surrounding that game as there have been for others. But do you really want to have that title go up part and parcel side by side with The Last of Us 2? On console launch for PS5, it's going to get blatantly ignored, especially with the critical success of the first Last of Us.
I see what you're saying. And in that scenario,
Sony Ninja's coming out.
Sony was like, you always talking trash about us. I got you. No, in that scenario of what you're saying, I would still, that almost reinforces, I'm saying, hold off on The Last of Us 2 until the PlayStation 5 launch. And again, just pretend. Let's say Ghost of Tsushima gets delayed until August. Mm-hmm. Okay, put it out in August. That way it gets a month or two shine on its own as the quote-unquote last PlayStation 4 game. And then you still hold The Last of Us 2 until the launch of the PlayStation 5. And the reason we're bringing all that, because we have absolutely no idea what's launching with PlayStation 5. So you would think, depending on how strong their launch lineup is going to be, you could supplement it with what is arguably the biggest IP on PlayStation right now, which would be The Last of Us 2, and have that at launch. Or if they got like just a straight up banging launch lineup, maybe you still do launch it ahead of the PlayStation 5 because you don't want it to get buried inside the PlayStation 5 launch. You want it to. So they're definitely going to have be some scrambling here because of COVID on the launch windows for all this stuff. Cause it really, cause we're at the mercy of the virus. Mm-hmm. We don't know. You can't put a date on anything right now and say, we're doing this, because we just simply don't know. So it'll be interesting to see, which I guess I'll slightly pivot into Xbox real quick. I know I had that on the top. Well, actually,
let me finish the first part.
I'm not Danny. So I let you just get it in. See, there you go.
I'm not surprised that things are being delayed. My question would be, and I know you and I and Danny had a little sidebar chat before the show about Ryan McCaffrey and IGN and Phil Spencer. If you guys haven't checked it out, it's actually a pretty good show. But Phil mentions in that interview that China does seem to be ramping back up production on things. Yeah. So I'm curious, if that is true, how and why would that affect a product that can seemingly be released almost hands-free? Because a lot of those things are done. They're automated, right? There's not a lot of hands-on, short of box packing and then, you know, slapping a label on it and shipping it out the door, right? Obviously, there are going to be challenges with shipping and, you know, just having physical people in buildings and non-essential services, et cetera. Although if you're GameStop, this is essential services. But seeing how they're starting now to be a turnaround, allegedly in China, is it possible that maybe it's not as delayed as we expect? Maybe it does get maybe it gets pushed back to like June, July, August, you know, similar to Ghost of Tsushima. And then again, it directly affects that title as well as a, you know, as a launch or just sales impact, right? If we are seeing that uptick in activity in China and other countries that would be responsible for the development of games, et cetera. Do we see that?
Well, I think you kind of answered your question already. I don't think it's the actual manufacturing, because again, just going by what Phil Spencer was talking about, it sounds like China's getting ramped up. So they're not concerned about having a quote unquote delay of the Series X in November, because it sounds like the hardware is going to be there. So to take that on just the gaming manufacturing side, I don't think it's the delay that they're not going to be able to make the copies. It's the logistics of getting the copies into certain countries, because certain countries
handing it to the customers.
Exactly. If you've locked your, borders, so you're not, and I know some essential stuff is obviously still shipping in, but if, like you said, if Best Buy, again, we're just as United States, as an example, if Best Buy is closed, if GameStop is closed, how am I getting said physical copy?
Well,
I think it's more of that, because right now you can't get anything from GameStop unless they mail it to you. But there's people that have done in-store pre-orders, things like that. How are they getting it? So I think Sony looked at it. Again, this is my opinion. I don't know nothing. Sony probably looked at it as, we're looking at a logistical nightmare. Let's hold off when people can move around more freely before we actually decide to put this game out. That's my guess. And then I think, because if you listen to what Phil Spencer was saying in that interview with Ryan McCaffrey, which is fantastic, by the way, definitely go check it out. He's very confident that they're going to have, because we're under, again, under the assumption by the time we get to November, people are going to, we're going to be back to somewhat being normal again. Right. So he's under the assumption we'll be able to, the manufacturing isn't the issue. We'll be ready hardware wise, physical copy wise. If there's going to be a delay, it's going to be on the software side. I think that if you listen to what he was saying, that's more of his concern, more so than actually having the physical hardware, the physical copies of games. Mm-hmm. He's more concerned that because 343, as an example, is literally probably spread out throughout Seattle and around the globe right now trying to make this game remotely. He's more concerned that they're going to be ready to go by then, more so than the Series X itself being ready to go. And if, and again, if you listen to him, he admits the teams are stretched thin right now. There is I don't know if you want to say the word pressure right now, but they're being stretched to their limits of what they're being able to do, but they still seem to be on track. So
right. I know somebody in our chat just mentioned it as well, but I know I have personal verified information because one of our community members, I won't say their name, confirmed that Best Buy does have curbside pickup for things. So it's not 100% locked down and there is an opportunity, but I understand it's not just the United States, right? This is more of a global thing.
Exactly.
It's not just us, right? It's right. A remote countries. Not everybody is like us, you know? So we have to think, you know, we have to step back and think outside of the United States. This is not just us. It's affected. It's everybody. So that makes sense.
Yep. Agreed. So moving on from that, let's just jump into the Phil stuff since we're obviously already talking about that, and we'll circle back around to PlayStation on the back end. So again, the interview with Ryan McCaffrey, and there's really two of them. There's the IGN Unlocked where you talk for an hour, and then they also did another one that was kind of the part of their IGN series about the next gen console launches, and Phil was on for a period of time, you know, kind of expanding upon what he talked about with Ryan.
Right.
But just the overall thing, and I'm not going to recap the whole thing. Danny and I talked about it a little bit already, but just because I listened to it again, and just the overall thing that I took from that is confidence that they're very confident about what they're about to present to us. Mm-hmm. We've clearly already seen the Series X. We know what it is. We've seen multiple teardowns of it from Austin Evans and Digital Foundry. So we know what that console is. We've seen it. We know the specs. Digital Foundry did an amazing job kind of breaking down what we can expect from it performance wise, things like that. Thing's a monster. Let's, again, PC elitism aside, on the console side, that thing is a freaking monster. Trust me, you have that under your TV this holiday, you're going to be happy with what you're going to get. That isn't even an issue. But the thing that I took from him confidence wise is he mentioned that they're at a point now that every time they get on a stage and present something, they have to do world premiere releases of games because that's how many games that they have in the roadmap, you know, coming down the pipe. And right. I like the fact that he said they're not going to try and cram everything into launch because you need to spread things out
right.
to give them a chance to breathe. Like he brought up, what did he bring up? Danny's favorite game. He brought up like Sunset Overdrive. He brought up Rise. He was bringing up, he even went back to Eternal Darkness, just kind of talking about when things get released affects its adoption. You know what I mean? Like to me, the classic example will always be Titanfall 2. What the frick was EA? And look, we may or may not know why, but what was EA thinking putting out Titanfall 2 right up with Battlefield and Call of Duty? It got buried by those two games. And arguably the best first person shooter campaign ever. Arguably it was level that freaking good.
Still level three, effect and cause. Still one of the best platform first person platform action adventure experience in the last 5 or 6 years. Easily.
Absolutely. Easily. And, you know, we had a friend that worked on that game at Respawn, and I just, you know, I know you know what I'm talking about, but just leading up to that, I just remember how excited he was for us to get our hands on that game. And then once we got, I see what he's talking about. Dude, just do yourself a favor. If you're watching this or listening to this right now, go get Titanfall 2. It's probably $5. Whether you get it on Xbox, PlayStation, or PC, it's dirt cheap. Go get it. Just play the campaign. I don't even know what the multiplayer looks like right now, but that campaign alone is absolutely worth playing. But again, back to my point of just the confidence of Phil, they're very confident with their roadmap for games, which gets me excited because they've been extremely transparent, you know, leading up to this since the Game Awards. And obviously he came on our show. Now he went on with Ryan. You know, they've done, you know, Matt Booty's done, you know, like interviews. Clearly they were ramping up to E3 to really have this big blowout. So the confidence of it and the fact that he acknowledges the mistakes of the past, he acknowledges the mistakes of 2013 and just everything that they've literally been ramping up since 2016, in my opinion, to where we are today, to get to this point where they know they have the most powerful hardware out there. They know it's going to be a performance beast, and they've done all these studio acquisitions to supplement the power of the hardware with stuff that we actually want to play, because that's been Xbox's biggest problem this generation. There's just nothing that I really care about to play that's exclusive to them. Whereas it looks like they're trying to fix that now, and clearly they're going to launch that off with Halo. So I'm excited. But what do you think overall about with the interview and everything, since we didn't get your full thoughts on it?
I totally agree with what you said. The confidence level from him is, and it's not just him, it's the team, you know, the comfort level at where they're at this late in the development schedule, schedule, they seem to, and he mentions as well, this is one of the things that actually stood out, was how when he came on board, he made mention of how the team was like in a rut. Like you could tell there was a tangible difference from their activities, their mentality, their well-being, just when Phil came on board, and now where they're at with Xbox Series X, coming soon. It's good. And I'm glad. And we've said this year in and year out. This is good for the industry in general, from a developer perspective, from a hardware perspective, from a platform perspective, and then all the way down to us, to the consumer perspective. We are getting right now the best of Microsoft. And the last time we saw this was for Xbox 360, right? And we know how that came out. We know how that success pushed the industry as a whole. So, you know, I'm glad to see that. There's been rumors and speculation of, and I guess we can segue to that from here. We'll pivot to that. But seeing how Microsoft is doing with Xbox Series X is a sign of things to come for gaming in general. And hopefully this is an opportunity for Sony to do the same, right? We know that they've had the confidence for the past 5+ years, right? PlayStation 4 has been a dominant piece of the industry from a console perspective, from a hardware performance perspective. Oh, except for audio, from a inventory, from a catalog perspective, they've been knocking it out of the park. And it's time. It's. I'm glad. I'm just happy. And obviously, we know about what Nintendo's done. You know, so this is just a fantastic cycle for everyone involved.
Yep, agreed. Completely agree. Everything that you're saying, it's just exciting. And that's, look, let's just do the PSA right now. And Danny, you can edit this out. I don't care. Neither one of us gives a about console wars. I just want to make that crystal clear. Sure, we're talking a lot about Xbox right now because there's actually things to talk about with them versus what we have so far with PlayStation. But, you know, obviously all the Twitter kids that love to try and argue teraflops and SSD speeds and they don't even know what the hell any of it means is just absolutely ridiculous to me. But we just care about gaming. That's all it comes down to. I don't care if it's on the PC, the PlayStation, the Xbox, the television. It doesn't matter. That's all we care about. But competition is what pushes innovation. So you want Xbox. If you're a PlayStation fan, you want Xbox doing what they're doing right now because it puts pressure on PlayStation to counter and vice versa. You see what I'm saying? So that's how you have to look at it. And then you got Nintendo off to the side going, "Yup, we're just going to release Mario again for the 10,000th time. You dummies are going to buy it again. Because guess what? Time. I'm buying it again."
Every time.
Which, let's talk about that real quick, because I haven't actually talked about that on a podcast. You know, that Mario 35th anniversary rumor of them re-releasing every 3D Mario out on the Switch. just take my money. That's really all I have to say. Just take my money, because I get it just alone for Galaxy. But just to put them all out, depending on how they're going to package it out, I will absolutely get that. What about you?
So, I mean, and I know we all hate rumors, right? But how legitimate is that? Because the more I see, the more it starts becoming more positive. Like we start to see, you know, Eurogamer, VGC talking about it. We've got GameSpot talking about it. Has this become Nintendo's press run? Because now every time a rumor comes out, we give it 2-3 months, and the next thing you know, it's happening, right? We know Nintendo's got all this stuff with, you know, the animated Mario movie and theme parks and stuff like that. But now this has become Nintendo's press run. We get a cryptic message or potential on a Nintendo Direct. And the next thing you know, there's a rumor that something's coming out. And then 3-5 months down the line, it's become reality. So how legitimate do you think this is?
I think it's somewhat legitimate. I think at this point, so many people have talked about it over the past week that Jason Schreier or someone would have jumped in and shot it down at this point if it wasn't true. I'm more curious how it's going to be presented. Is this going to be one game, like one package where it's multiple games that you select? Like, I spend $60 and I'm getting, I don't know, 5 or 6 Mario games in one? Or are they going to piecemeal this thing out and kind of really nickel and dime us to get it? Because I don't put it past Nintendo at all. You know, I look at it this way, and I was saying this earlier. We're the biggest hypocrites, because if Xbox or PlayStation were doing this, we would put their feet to the fire. But Nintendo, we always give them a pass. And I don't care, because I just want to play. Okay, you know what I'm saying?
So, like, I understand where you're coming from with how is it going to, what's the packaging going to be? Is this going to be an all-in-one cart?
Or is that's what I'm saying.
Is this going to be like, all right, we're going to give you 6 now, and then 6 months later, we're going to give you 6 more, and then 6 months later, we're going to give you 6 more? Like, how is this going to come across? How are they going to deliver? Because, you see these collections from other ones, but there's no real title that comes close to the sheer number of games that Mario has. I mean, hell, and they could do it with a lot of other ones, right? Because Nintendo spanned generations. I mean, we're talking all the way back to the 80s. They could do this with Mario. Then they can say, okay, well, now we're going to do it with Donkey Kong. We're going to give you the entire Donkey Kong Anniversary Edition, right, of all the Donkey Kong games. And God knows, it's probably already up their sleeve, right? I'm pretty sure this is happening in Big N territory now, but... You know, how do they do that? How do they package and deliver that? How do they hand that off to the consumer short of a virtual console?
That's what I'm saying. That to me, that's the curiosity of how they're going to package and present this to the consumer and the pricing that's going to be around it. Because like you said, they could break this up into, I think someone even in the chat said it, they could make a volume 1, a volume 2, a volume 3. Look, honestly, they could probably charge us $40 each time and we'll be dumb enough to buy it. I know I will.
I'll dedicate a credit card to each one.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
One for you.
But that's the power of Nintendo. That's the power of having a 30 plus year library, and just trust from the consumer with these games, that we're willing to double, triple, and in some cases quadruple dip on these games. You know what I'm saying? Because we want to play them again. Like, for me, when I look at this, Galaxy is the thing that excites me the most, because I just adore Galaxy. So absolutely, I would love to have that on the Switch and take it wherever I go. Mario 64 would be another highlight for me. I was even telling my son this, I would love to see them take Mario 64 and use the Odyssey engine for it, if they're really going to dedicate resources to this and bring it back out. Take Mario 64 exactly as it is, but use the Mario Odyssey engine to power it. Put it on a Switch. I'm in. I'll play that. Yeah. I would love it. I think a game like
64 look like Odyssey.
Yep. I'm in. I'll never take my money. That's what I'm saying.
That would be perfect for COVID right now. Honestly, yeah. if they could release that right now, release 64 look like Odyssey. nobody would ever leave their house. It would actually guarantee that people would stay home.
Yep. Probably. Absolutely. But then I take, you know, I take like Sunshine, which is also rumored in this. That's a game I never finished. I never gave it a shot. I just, because at that time, that wasn't the kind of Mario game I wanted. So it would be interesting for me to go back now and revisit Sunshine and see if I still have the same feelings, because clearly over the years, I mean, we've seen the Luigi Mansion's iterations. We've obviously seen what they've done, you know, with Galaxy and what they've done with Odyssey, that it has incorporated some of that stuff from Sunshine into those games. So maybe now I go back and play Sunshine. I'm like, okay, right. I get what they're trying to do now. And I finish, cause I remember I got about halfway through and I just tapped out. I was like, I don't want to do this, you know? So be interesting to see. But anything else on Nintendo?
No. I think we should pivot to the last thing. I think we kind of brought it up. I kind of mentioned PlayStation having some issues. So allegedly there was a rumor getting thrown about there being rumored heat issues with the final design of the console. And then Jason Schreier came out, kind of like what you said earlier, and just basically, you know, squashed that rumor. What are your thoughts? Do you think this is Xbox fanboys just trying to come up with any excuse to try to just badmouth Sony? Do you think this is potentially legitimate? Because this is unnamed development sources telling Windows Central's, journalists, right? So obviously you've got, you know, unnamed sources talking to Microsoft biased media people.
I do think it's a rumor. I don't think it's true, but the fact that Jez Corden over at Windows Central did say he was hearing this, mm-hmm, made me at least pause, because he's right, not going to just throw that out there willy nilly. You know, it's clearly someone in the know is telling him this, mm-hmm, which does give me pause. But if you look at the rumor as a whole, how would a developer know all this? You're on dev kits. Maybe it is overheating because it's a freaking dev kit. This is not final hardware. You don't know that. So I don't put a lot of juice into this, that, oh my God, PlayStation is doomed and they're going to have to redesign the whole thing and put it out, you know, a year from now. I don't think that. I think, again, COVID-19 aside, PlayStation 5 does come out, mm-hmm, in November. I'm not expecting Red Ring of Death kind of hardware failure. There will be a certain percentage, because that happens with all. The Series X will have a certain percentage of failures. It happens. But I don't think this is widespread and rampant enough that it's completely changing PlayStation's philosophy or anything like that. So, yeah, I do just think it's a rumor. You probably have some devs with some early dev kits that are overheating and, mm-hmm, having to be replaced. They probably said something to someone. And now, because Mark Cerny and those guys haven't actually come out and done the full reveal, and we're all stuck at home, people are left to their imaginations and everything's gloom and doom. That's my opinion.
We know about the dev kit pictures. Sorry, the dev kit pictures that came out a short while ago. And we saw this massive V shape with all these vents and everything for cooling. So do you think that things like that kind of egg on the potential for rumors like this? And then I kind of want to tangent off to see what your thoughts were on that alleged video of the
oh, that was the fake launch as hell.
I just want to know your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Hey, A for effort, but that, come on, that's so fake. That's not real. There's no way. Yeah. I give you props for all the effort. And look, we're all at home not doing anything. So you had nothing else to do, right? So you did it. But yeah, it's not real.
Okay. So going back to the overheating stuff and the rumor, I mean, you see those dev kits, you see the shape, and we see that. Have you seen the rumored images of the actual, what they're projecting it to look like? And what are your thoughts on the design?
I have not. I have not actually. I haven't seen what the alleged final version. I've seen the dev kits, obviously, but I've not seen what they're saying the retail version is going to look like.
I'll put that in the chat. And sorry for those that are listening, you won't get these images. Apologies. This is...
I don't like it. I don't like it. Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it doesn't. It just doesn't look. I think, and I want to go back to that. I want to quickly spin back to what we were talking about, the IGN interview with Phil Spencer, and how they brought up physical design concepts of how they went from, you know, I think it was Astro that helped with the design of the Xbox One X, and then how they've switched to a more, you know, streamlined, contemporary, modernistic look with Xbox Series X. I don't like how this basically looks like they just put it on another PlayStation and just shifted it like a set of napkins at a cocktail event. So hopefully this has nothing, because going back to the V shape is hideous. So I, knowing how Sony is with aesthetics, I don't think that this is rumored.
You
know, it just doesn't look like something anyone would want to put in their living room. I don't even think, you know, the quote unquote Sony ponies would want to put this out on their shelf either. It just does not look good, right? So.
No, I agree. I don't think this is real, because they're going to want something sleek and streamlined versus too many angles on this thing. It's like,
do you think that they'll come anywhere close to the change of shape that Microsoft did with Xbox Series X? Do you think that's the target shape?
I think this part of what the final version of the PlayStation 5 is going to look like is why we've not seen it yet, because I'm not convinced that they are 100% on what it's going to be. And maybe that's part of the overheat. Cause again, going back to the Phil Spencer interview with Ryan, he talked about that. He said that part of the reason it looks the way that it does, the reason it looks like a NZXT X1 or whatever the hell it's called, is because of the way that they're the cooling.
Right.
Yeah, it's a Corsair. Sorry. But the way they're cooling it, that's why, you know, they basically made a mini ITX board PC. That's what they've done. So because that's how they're going to be able to get all this performance out of it. And look, the PlayStation 5 isn't as powerful as the Series X, but it's powerful enough that there's no way, because I'm looking at my PlayStation 4 Pro right now, there's no way they can stick a PlayStation 5 in that design. It is going to have to evolve. It has to be able to properly cool it, or they will have overheating issues. So I am dying to see what this thing will finally look like when it comes out. And if it winds up being a Series X clone, so be it. Because guess what? I don't buy consoles for what they look like. I buy them to play stuff on them. That's it. It goes under my TV and I don't care anymore. And look, I'm going to rant for a second. Danny, here, I'm going to say it. We're in quarantine and I spend way too much time on social media these days. I know it to the point where I have to like just close Twitter. You're on it too much. The amount of people that care about these stupid consoles and they got to defend it just blows my freaking mind. And I guarantee, just like you said, with the whole thing, the rumor that came out about it, the PlayStation 5 potentially overheating and being delayed, the amount of people that ride the Emerald Stallion on the Twitter that just was losing their minds thinking that they,
like, the Emerald Stallion.
But the amount of people that were celebrating that just blew my mind. Why are you celebrating that? You shouldn't be celebrating that, dumb, because again, the competition is what drives all this. You should want PlayStation 5 to come out and be a monster and have a banging, you know, launch lineup and the whole thing, and the vice versa with Xbox. You know, it's just, it just drives me nuts. And you know why it drives me nuts? Because I'm in my 40s, you're in your 40s, and the people that are doing that are also in their 40s. These grown ass men with children, with jobs, that are on social media celebrating consoles blows my mind. I don't know, this is my rant for the image
of you with the Tiger King mohawk riding an Emerald Stallion.
yes I got Joe Exotic in the back singing.
I want to see somebody in our community that's watching this, or even someone who clips this and puts this on Twitter, please send me artwork of Paris with Tiger King, freaking, you know, the blonde hair and the mullet. riding an Emerald Stallion, Wes Jess. I know you're an amazing person. You and Shoji Kodo in our community. Please make this happen. Please, I beg you.
Yeah. That would be good. That would be good. But you get what I'm saying, man. It just sure. You know, hey, it's just ridiculous. I know we went way off. And you know what? We have voicemails, but we've already gone like an hour.
Yeah, I was actually going to mention it and send you a message about it, but I'm glad you brought it up. Yeah, I think
he's
been fantastic.
But yeah, man, I mean, this has been pretty much an hour of an episode. I mean, it's amazing. I go into this going, we have nothing to talk about, but then we fill up an hour talking about stuff. Yep. Again, everyone, you know, just with COVID-19 going around right now, you know, I know it's tough for everyone. You know, especially shout out to people that are up in the Northeast area and the New York area right now. It's extremely bad there in the United States. Obviously, Italy is being hit hard. Spain is being hit hard. The UK has started to be hit hard. It's just, this is a global thing. This affects all of us. No one is immune from this right now. You know,
all countries surrounding me. Thanks.
Yeah. I forget who said it. But it's so true that, you know, again, because I'm married or whatever, but they said this virus is going to truly let you know if you like your family. This is going to let you know because you can't escape. I've been looking at these same four of the people in this house for the past 3 weeks. And you know, look, we have our good times. We have our bad times. Let's just put it that way.
Be happy that you at least have
them with you. I know. We were talking about this. Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah. I know. For you especially. Yeah. And that's kind of the point that I'm trying to bring up is, you know, I'm lucky enough. Like LeBron even talked about this. He was on with Channing Frye and what's his face? Richard Jefferson.
Yep.
They were talking about this. And he's like, look, I'm in a mansion. I got my whole family here. I can walk around. I can go work out. I can do all this kind of stuff. But he was like, I know a lot of people can't because, you know, he grew up poor. He was like, if this happened when I was a kid and I've been stuck in this little tiny one bedroom apartment with my mom, she'd be losing her mind right now. I get it. I'm lucky enough that, you know, I have my entire family here with me. You know, I can go outside in my backyard and go walk my dog. I can go run up the hill. There's things that I can do to occupy my time, but a lot of people don't have that. And that's what's crazy about this. It's the psychological of what this virus is doing, the quarantine, not to mention the economic side, people losing their jobs, the whole thing. Trust me, I get it. I sympathize with everyone. And that's why, you know, you have to be sympathetic to people out there that may not be as fortunate as you right now. And to the people that are going through some stuff, trust me, my heart goes out to you. I've seen all kind of GoFundMes and Cash App things and PayPals on Twitter because people are struggling right now. So if you can help at all, matter of fact, shout out to our brother Dan, because I know he was in the chat earlier. You know, his wife is in New York on the front lines battling this stuff right now, and they're in desperate need of supplies. So if you're out there and you can help with supplies, donate whatever you can, because this is not a game. It's not a hoax. You know, it's not fake news. This is real. You know, despite what some of our leaders may be saying around the world, this is real. People are dying. And just because you don't know someone that has COVID-19, I know enough people out there that does have COVID-19 or have been in the hospital or know people that died. So this is real, man. And we have to respect it and treat it like it is, because think about it. The entire world has shut down. This has never happened in my 46 years on this planet. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah. And if anybody is sympathetic, right? It's not just us, but it's those that have actually recovered successfully. Obviously, you know, we hear about, you know, the ones that have passed away as a result of this. But like you said, medical care workers, I've got friends that are nurses. Obviously, we know Dan's wife, you know, she's, you know, on the front lines. And those are the people that, you know, I mean, hell,
yeah.
I follow a couple of chefs on social medias, and one of them, I've mentioned him in the past, his name is Frank. He owns restaurants in New York. He's actually started cooking and delivering dinners to the hospitals because he's worried about the health of these healthcare workers who have been literally living on fast food, you know, for the last couple of weeks. And that's the worst thing you could literally do. You know, you're either living on fast food or even worse, you're like, you know, you're hitting, you know, cup of noodles or just some form of sustenance, you know, quickly just to keep your energy level up to be able to help support them. So, I mean, if you know somebody that's a healthcare worker, please, you know, whether they're a nurse, you know, hell, even the cleaning crew, the most important people probably next to the nurses, the cleaning crews in these facilities are just as important these days because they're the ones keeping the cleanliness and the sanitation and keeping things sterilized. You know, those are the ones that need help. So if you can, you know, help them out as well.
Yep. Completely agree, man. Completely. Because, you know, it's real. This is real life. This is something we're going through. This is like my daughter. Trust me, my heart goes out to my daughter because she graduates high school and no prom. Right now, who the hell knows what they're going to do for graduation? Because again, we're at the mercy of the virus. There was talk of them potentially having an actual graduation ceremony this fall, you know, and I'm like, look, if that's what happens, do it, because this is a memory that you always have. You don't want to, you know, be old as me and look back and not have any pictures, memories of when you graduated high school. It's a moment in time that only happens once. You know, that kind of thing. So trust me, this affects people on different levels. And again, my complaints are minuscule. Like my biggest complaint right now is I can't go to the freaking gym and I'm losing my damn mind over it. But who cares? Who cares? So I lose some gains. I go get them back later. Right. You know, obviously, like when this Last of Us 2 thing happened, my timeline immediately got flooded with people going, Cyberpunk's going to get delayed. Cyberpunk is going to get it delayed. Gives if it gets delayed, I don't care. This isn't about video games right now. No one cares. If Cyberpunk got delayed from September till next spring, so be it. Right now, I just want to be able to go outside. I just want to be able to go outside and go to the gym and go to the beach and be with my family and be with my friends and we can all hang out and party. Because I tell you what, when this all is over, my God. The parties that are going to be happening are going to be insane. All the hugging and social interaction are going to be off the charts. That's what I care about. You know, I care about making sure my family's taken care of and that we all get past this and can go back to normal. If the NBA gets canceled, so be it. I mean, it will hurt my soul because it figures the Lakers are finally back and then we don't get to cash it in. But whatever, man, all that stuff is minor. It's about, you know, saving lives and just getting back to what we're quote unquote used to versus, you know, this weird, you know, isolation thing right now. It's like half the time I don't even know what day it is. That's how crazy all this is. I have to look at it. Wait, it is Friday. Yeah, you know?
Exactly.
Yep. So we'll see. But that's enough ranting. So we've already gone on an hour. So anything else from you, Pete?
No, I think we had a phenomenal show. Good to be back in this, in the flow of these things here. So,
yep, absolutely. And I know I didn't hit all the cues that I should have about feedback. So how about we do one of those right now?
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. I want to thank everyone for listening to this episode. Like I said, I know we had a bunch of feedback. Maybe we can do that on Wednesday's episode or something like that. I know Danny has an interview that will be coming out. I do believe it will be this Wednesday, but we'll figure something out. But everyone, keep leaving your feedback, emails, voicemails. We did listen to them, but obviously Pete and I like to talk a lot, so we didn't get to it. Sorry. But thank you again for everyone listening. Thank you, everyone that was here live on Twitch. This has been episode 1017. Of Gamertag Radio. It's crazy. We're over 1,017 of Gamertag Radio. I'm Paris. That is Pete. Stay cool, kittens.
Meow.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.